still singing, beautiful day, what an honor it is to be able to gather here this morning. We're thankful that you are here. We're grateful God has given us a beautiful day to come before Him and worship. I want to mention our visitors. We're grateful that you're here. It encourages us that you made that decision to be here, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Now, I want us to begin this lesson with a prayer, if you would. Bow with me, please. Our kind and loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be your great and glorious name. Father, this morning as we visit this topic of humility, we pray, Father, that we are attentive to the words of Jesus and the example of Jesus. Help us, Father, to remove the pride and the arrogance that we cling on to, that so easily ensnares us. Father, help us to be a humble people, and remember our purpose to glorify you, to honor you in that. We thank you for Jesus, for his teaching, for his example, and we pray this in his holy name. Amen. Now, of course, like I said in our prayer, we're going to be talking about humility. We're going to talk about being humble. If somebody walked in off the street and they were saying, well, I'm interested in Christianity. Well, what are some of the main things I need to learn up front? Well, after you tell them, you've got to love God and be willing to trust and obey, one of the very next things, hopefully we teach that individual, is you got to be humble. Right? Humility, being humble, is a critical characteristic of a Christian. And I know it's one of those things in our culture, in our society, it's hard. Right? Everyone wants to be top dog in something. Right? Biggest house, nicest car, most well-behaved children. But we need to be aware of what God has to say. And God has a lot to say in the Bible about being humble. Right? And it's a very interesting topic. It's a very interesting way to live. Now, if you were to go home and watch TV or a movie or something like that, you're probably not going to come across movies or shows on how to be humble. Right? If you go to the bookstore, you're probably not going to find any books on living the humble life. Right? So it's a very interesting topic, very interesting way to live. And God has a lot to say about being humble, right? I believe in every book of the Bible, you'll see that it promotes humility. And this is hard. This is difficult. I think this is one of the most difficult areas that we deal with as Christians, especially in our culture. So I want us to begin here. Our scripture reading was in Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to get two main passages this morning, Matthew 11, and then we're going to end up in Philippians chapter 2. But I want us to see something here about what Jesus says about humility. Listen, it's an interesting topic because humility is an interesting way to live, and it's not a popular human trait. Right? This is something I struggle with. It is not a popular human trait. And so Jesus is going to deal with this. And I want us to see just how important this is. And our scripture reading, of course, was Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And we love these verses, right? And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've heard this many times. Come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's key. We're going to talk about that. What are we going to learn from you, Lord? And he would then describe himself. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, the idea of being humble, humility, gentle, New King James says, lowly in spirit. Here's the idea of that. Here's where we make our biggest mistake. And you may see it going back to the original language. It's about controlled strength. Controlled strength. And even go further back into the ancient Greek, and it carries the idea of having a sword, but keeping it sheathed. We might say, well, humility, being humble, it's about not having a sword at all. No, no, no. That's not what this is teaching. This is teaching about having strength, but controlled. It's about having a sword, but keeping it sheathed, with the understanding that, if necessary, it can come out of the sheath. But you're not going to do that for the benefit of somebody else. And so we're going to see that as we develop this lesson a little bit further. Listen, being humble is not about cutting yourself off on the knees, by the knees, of, you know, beating yourself up, being a doormat for other people. That is not humility. That is not biblical humility. And we need to get that out of our minds. Humility, when we end this lesson, we're going to see in Philippians 2, is about giving up our rights to lift other people to God. And so I hope we understand that by the time we're done with this lesson here. Now, many times when we study these verses here, we fail to see it within the context in which it was given. And so that's what I want to do. We can't develop all of it, but listen, context, context, context. And so back up, if you would, I want you to go back to verses 20 through 24. And study this in which context that Jesus gives it. And when you do, you're going to get an even more powerful teaching here. Right? We're going to miss out on a powerful teaching if we don't drop back and understand something. Right? So Jesus is going to mention three cities. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Now, these cities here, what we're going to see is Jesus spent much time doing great deeds, great works, great miracles in these three cities. And it's in those, in doing these miracles, that most of these people, they don't believe in Jesus. Right? They don't follow him. And so Jesus has something very powerful to say. Right? To these people that would not believe, would not follow him. Let that sink in here. He does some of his most powerful teaching of miracles, and they don't want anything to do with them. And let's just read here about one of these cities. You can't read it all. Verse 23 in Luke, Capernaum, you are exalted to heaven. See, that's what they thought. They were exalted to heaven. Look at us. We're very prideful. But what's going to happen? He says, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So what's Jesus saying here? He said, do you realize how many chances they had? Right? Do you realize the evidence that was brought before them? Do you realize everything they had? You know, hey, if Sodom would have had this evidence, they would have repented. And what he says coming out of that is really important also. So what he does coming out of that is that he's going to give praise to God. I want you to note this. And you might be a little bit surprised by the reason he's going to praise God here. Right? He then gives a proclamation of himself, and eventually it leads to a promise made by the Father. Right? Context, context, context. So go to verse 25 here, and keep in mind what he just said. Right? He just called out those three cities, talk about how intolerable it is, right, that they would have so much evidence about Jesus, and they don't do anything about it. Right? And don't believe. So verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, now this is praise to the Father, I thank you, now some translations say, I praise you, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to babes. Your translation might say children or little children. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Who are the wise and the prudent, right? They're the only wise and prudent in their own thinking. Now, have you ever met somebody that has that they've received just enough education that you can't tell them anything else. But they've received, now colleges are filled with these people, they've received just enough education that they don't think they need anything else, especially from God. Or have you ever met someone that had just enough life experience that you can't tell them anything else? Just enough education or experience that there's this unwillingness to bow down before God. There's no hunger and thirsting for righteousness, no bowing down before God and saying, Lord, I want to learn your will in my life. Right? There's none of that. So listen here. Jesus actually, he says a prayer, praising God as he looks at those three cities, and he says, thank you, God. Thank you for not letting your gospel rest in the hands of those kind of people. Now, how powerful would the gospel be if only the proud and the arrogant received the gospel? Right? Jesus says, instead, you didn't hide it with them, you hid it from them, and offered it to babes. Now, understand, he didn't say literally hid it in the sense that they couldn't get it. Right? The hidden aspect is, hey, if you're living in arrogance and pridefulness, you're not going to see the truth that's going to be hidden from you. Right? If you take a note, 2 Corinthians 4. And something we talked about in our summer series a couple weeks ago, right? Pride and arrogance always leads to idolatry. Pride and arrogance always, you're going to take something and lift it up to be God, and you're going to take God and try to lower it down and shape him into something that you want. And pride and arrogance lets you think that you can do that. So beware. Right? This is one of the ways that God created the sharing of the gospel. We need to be humble. Right? And if we're ever going to come to God, we have to be humble. And so he illustrates it with a babe right here. Now, when you hold a baby, what do you think about? Or a toddler, right? You think, wow, this little chubby ball of this needs to do a lot of learning, right? Or not, to talk and to walk and to obey and eat by themselves, all those kind of things, right? This babe has a lot to learn. You see what Jesus is saying here? Right? You give this truth to people who have an attitude of a babe, right? They understand they have so much to learn, and they have a desire to learn. Now pause for just a moment and honestly ask yourself, right? Have you recently spent any time in prayer, meditation, and study, seeking to be more humble? Right? Have you prayed that prayer? Father, I pray to be more humble. Humble me, Father, because I want to learn more of your will. What, have you done that lately? If you haven't, you need to. Because only the humble seek Jesus. Only the humble want to learn of God. Only the humble are going to be led to God by Jesus. And that's what he's teaching us here. Right? Would it be like the babe? Or it would be like people in those three cities, pride, arrogant, you know, we don't need Jesus. We got it all figured out. Now, I want you to notice next here, in verse 27, how Jesus identifies himself. Read it with me. All things have been delivered to me by the Father, or by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Right? You notice that last part there? How would anyone learn of God? Well, Jesus says, you know, it's been revealed to him. And he's revealed that to us. Jesus says, all things, and if you want to learn about the Father knows me, and I'm the one that knows the Father. So do you see the teaching here? Are we paying attention? Right? Jesus is telling us that the only way to know the Father is to know him. Right? It's the ones he reveals it to. Who are they? Well, they're the ones who humbly seek the will of God in their lives. Right? Not like the folks in those three cities. And he says, I spent time in those three cities, and I was trying to lead those people to the Father, but you know what their problem was? Their pride for them, they're arrogant. So they're never going to make it to the Father. It's just not going to happen. Right? They're not going to make it to the Father. Now I want you to note here next that when he praises the Father for bringing this message to babes here, and he reminds what babes do. Babes listen to Jesus. Right? Why? Well, because only Jesus can and will bring us to the Father. But just note a couple of Old Testament passages here real quick. And I don't have this on the screen, but I'm going to read it. But I love Exodus 33. What did Moses want? It sounded like more than anything, Moses wanted to see the Father. Psalm 42, we just sang this song based on Psalm 42. Right, but listen to it with fresh ears, and I want you to notice what the psalmist, how the psalmist, he desperately wanted something, right? And as we read this, just listen for what he wanted. As the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Right? What did he want here? Well, just like a deer can't live without water, right? He goes too long, just like any living thing, it's going to die. Right? And so as the deer panteth for the water, so is my desire for God. I want you, God. As a matter of fact, I've got one big question. When am I going to be able to come into your presence, oh God? Right, that's what Jesus was addressing over in Matthew 11. Right, Jesus wanted to address all of those people whose heart's desire is to stand in the presence of God. Job, jump over to Job 23 real quick. Remember everything Job was going through? All of the losses, all of the pain, all of it. In Job 23, verses 1 through 3, notice what he says. And Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter, my hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. Job, what do you want? Right? He said, I just want to be able to come to the seat of God. I've got all of these bad things happening to me in my life, but maybe you can relate. What is it that you want, Job? He says, I want to be in the presence of God. Listen, that'll never happen unless you are humble. It just won't. Whether you think in your pride and arrogance you can make it on your own, you're just too good, or you're not that bad, listen, you will never make it to the Father. Do you realize that this is the strong underlying message throughout Scripture, like what Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Right? And you see, that's not just an introduction, by the way, there in John 14. When we read that verse, we should be thinking about Jesus, right? That there's more to him, there's more to it than just that. I said that wrong. More to it than just about him, it's also about God the Father and how Jesus leads us to the Father. So we need to have that in consideration. Right? And it takes a humble, submissive, obedient mindset. All right, back in Matthew 11, that's what he's talking about. Right? It was about these three cities. Jesus came to this earth. A lot of people rejected him, and we've got to ask why. They rejected Jesus. We've got to ask why here. And so Jesus gives us a message here at the end of chapter 11 in the book of Matthew. And he does so not only by warning about the arrogant heart, but he also says, Father, I want to praise you. Jesus says, I want to thank you, Father, for revealing these truths of your message to those who are like babes. They hunger for your word. They want to learn. Right? Jesus identifies himself. He says, thank you, Father, for sending me. Jesus says, I'm the one that helps people find the Father. Now, when you read Matthew 11, 28, and 30, read it this way, as you're thinking about God. Now, read it as you consider your own desire to be in the very presence of the Lord. Now read it and be reminded that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Now read it according to what Jesus is teaching us, knowing the power of humility. Right? Read it like that and have a desire to learn these truths. See, it makes a little more sense. It's more powerful. Right, friends, brethren, you're going to find rest here in the presence of God. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? You're going to find rest for your souls. That's with the Father. Right? Where's the ultimate rest for the souls, right? That's the heavenly home with the Father in his presence, right? When we're free from all that this life has done to us. Right? All of the pain and the confusion and the suffering and the trials and the sorrow. Right? There's this day that's coming when we can be in the presence of the Father. There's a day coming. And Jesus here, he said, I can get you there. I can take you to the Father. And to follow Jesus to the Father, I have to humble myself, and I've got to do it his way. Jesus said, I can reveal the Father to you when no one else can. Now, just to kind of recap here what we've looked at in this passage, what are we going to do? What do we have to do to make it to the Father? Well, we have to humble ourselves first and foremost. Listen, we cannot make it on our own. Probably not against what you think you can make it on your own, that you're just that good. Right? We have to remove that arrogance from us, that pride that keeps us from the Father. We need to become babes with a willingness to learn. Right? And here's another hard part of this. I have to take this yoke. This is hard. Right? This is a part we really don't like. I don't want to have to yoke up. You know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like submission. I don't know about that. That's a tough part, right? Sounds like to me, anybody who does that is going to have to be what? Humble, right? You can say, Lord, but I want to do it my way. Right? Now, you can do things your way. But you've got free will to do that, but you're not going to make it to the Father. That's guaranteed. We have to be humble. We have to be humble here. And that's going to take having that kingdom vision, that spiritual vision, being vessels of honor, our theme for the year. You will never be a vessel of honor, a vessel of any use, unless you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. All right, let's begin to wind down in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, this is the passage in the Bible, I believe, on humility. Right? There's a great study on humility as it pertains to the example of Jesus here. Right? And it's found here in what we call Philippians a book of cheerfulness or rejoicing for a reason. Right? And right in here, we got the passage on humility as seen through the example of Jesus, right? We talk about the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 11. Now we get the example of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. All right, let's make sure we're paying attention here. And so in verse 5, right, we all know this passage, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, he didn't just say, let this behavior, right? But this is deeper than behavior. Right? It's a mindset. It's a mental disposition. Right? It's in your mind who you are. Right? So, what is it to have a Christ-like humility here? Is this different than just acting humble? Right? Acting the way where someone looks and goes, well, that's a humble person. Right? That this is a mindset. This is who we are at the very core. Right? Listen, we were created in the image of God. We are image bearers on this earth. And we are to reflect Christ to the world. And what we see that's absolutely critical is being humble. Christ was humble. Not weak. Not letting people run over him like a doormat. But controlled strength. He could have called 10,000 angels. That's his sword. But he kept that sheathed for our benefit. He could have called 10,000 angels and destroyed the world, not go to the cross. He didn't do that. Controlled strength. Has nothing to do with weakness. And so what is it to have Christ-like humility? Read 6 and 7 here. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Now, of course, how did Jesus display humility? Remember, he's God, right? John 1 and verse 1. Right? We're reminded in the beginning was the Word was God. Right? And notice here, when he came to this earth, listen, humility is not giving up who you are. That's not the teaching here. Right? He didn't have to stop being God so that he could somehow show humility. Right? You don't stop being yourself so you can start being humble. Listen, what strengths did God give you? What resources and abilities has God given you in your life? Think about it. Kind of run through that in your mind. Right? And when you think about this here, when we make that mistake, we think that being weak is being humble. Now, being humble biblically, what we learn here, is taking what God has given us and using it to lift up others in our lives. That's humility. That's being humble. Using what God gave you, including your rights, right, and setting that aside, if you will, in order to lift, the will of God up in your life, lifting others up toward God in your life, that's what it means to be humble. Right, so, we turn and we serve others to do what? Well, we lift them up towards God. If you're taking notes, write down James 4 and verse 10. So, in humility, look at your text here. In humility, we serve in order to lift others up toward God. That's what Jesus did right here. But we don't serve them to say, hey, look at how humble I am. No, we serve to point others to God, to lift them up toward God. What has God given you in your life to do that? Now, the word form here, by the way, in verses 6 and 7, some translations will say nature, right? He was the nature of God. Verse 7, he took upon himself the form of the nature of a bondservant. But when he came to this earth, he could have introduced himself as God on earth. He could have made the disciples wash his feet. He could have made everyone bow down before him everywhere he went. But the life of Jesus had, he didn't do that. Now, I want you to think about this here. What rights will you give up this week in order to serve? Right? Would you give up your rights in order to serve? Listen, you got a First Amendment right to free speech. You can say whatever you want, wherever you're at. I think this is one of the areas that modern American Christians that we struggle with. Here's an example. Someone does something, either real or perceived. Now, you got a right to give them a piece of your mind. Right? somebody at work or whatever, someone cuts you off, whatever. You got a right, First Amendment right, to tell them what's on your mind, to set them straight, give them a piece of your mind. Humility instead takes that right and sets it aside and says, you know what I'm going to do instead of that, even though I have a right to? I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to lift them up. What if you come across a little bit of juicy information on somebody? Right? Your carnal side says, oh, I can't wait to tell so-and-so about this information I have. Humility, we don't do that. Right? I got a right to tell people, but I'm not going to do that. Right? How about instead that person I have that information on, I go to them and I lift them up and I encourage them. How about that instead? Listen, one of my pet peeves, and I don't know if anyone here has done that. I don't know. Haven't been on Facebook really in 4 years. But, you know, sometimes I hear people say it. One of my pet peeves, I think it's, you just got to be careful when someone says, oh, I don't have a filter. Right? Oh, I don't have, you know, it's just coming out. Right, listen, that is not a Christian attitude, right? Let's not say that. That's not good. We would have a filter. That filter is Christ. Right? When Christ is in my life and I'm humble, he's going to determine, I love the King James, the conversation that comes out of my mouth, my behavior. Right, so let that be a reminder. All right, let's go ahead and finish up here. In verses 8 and 9, listen, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. We're talking about humility, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. What else did he do? Well, not only did he give up his rights, right, in order to serve, he also gave up his life in order to obey. Right, he humbled himself when he became flesh. He humbled himself by leaving eternity and coming into time. He humbled himself by leaving the glories of heaven to live on this filthy earth with sinful men. Right? He humbled himself as deity, took on flesh. You know, he went on and on and on. He humbled himself, came to this earth and said, yes, I'm God, but I'm going to obey. Now, if you haven't thought about something that will blow your mind lately, think about this. Go home and meditate on these truths. Jesus is God. He said, I'm going to obey. How obedient you're going to be, well, even to the point of death. All right, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. This is to the seven churches of Asia, and this one's to Smyrna. And here in chapter 2 of Revelation, Jesus says, I know your pain. I know your tribulation. But then in verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now we know from Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus was obedient even unto death. But the question is, does he expect that kind of humility out of us? And here we see the teachings basically, listen, you've got a lot more suffering to come. And even if you have to go through a lot more suffering, listen, you got to be faithful unto death. That's the teaching here. Right? Even though it's about to get a whole lot worse, you've got to be faithful unto death. Okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? He says, be faithful until death. In other words, be obedient until the moment your physical life is taken. So what did I learn this morning? When I put all of this together, what did I learn? Are you educated? Are you wise? Do you think you have too much experience to learn from God? Man, I'm not trying to be cute when I say this, I'm saying it to challenge us, myself also. And we have a lot of very smart people in this room, a lot of people with a lot of experience in life. But I'm just asking you, you know, when you really give an evaluation, when you think about these words here, Matthew 11, 28-30, and what led up to that, with the mindset of, Lord, I've got a lot to learn. I think sometimes we cling to the, and forgive the word usage here, but it help us understand, I think, one of the problems is, you know, we cling to the orthodoxy. Right, just that information, you know, we cling to that to keep us from learning more, because as long as I know the checklist of the things I'm supposed to know, I don't really have to learn anymore. Listen, humility says, I got to keep learning. You know, I've got to get to the presence of God, and that's only going to happen through Jesus. And Lord, what is your will in my life? I've got to learn that. Right? That hunger, that thirsting for righteousness. Learning humility is necessary to come to God. I believe if we list characteristics that we as Christians must grasp, must have, I believe that humility is a must. We have to be a humble people. This morning, will you humble yourself before God? If you don't obey the gospel, you have to humble yourself before God. Right? It's that idea of trust and obedience. Lord, I need to learn your will. What is it? Right? It begins with being humble that you are in a sinful state, and Jesus is the only answer, the only way to the Father. And what you're going to learn in that is you have to love God. Right? You got to be humble. You got to be willing to put on Christ in baptism with responsive faith. Right? That's what humility will bring you. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we'd love to help you with that. Study it more. If you have, and maybe you realize, you know, maybe it was my pride, my arrogance that's pulled me away from the lifestyle with Christ, and I've been separated. Listen, anybody can start over at any time, right? That's the grace and the mercy of our God. So if we can help you in anything, in any area, don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.